Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Last week, we covered chapter 2, where we basically need to seek wisdom in our heart, and that God's wisdom has to get into our heart to affect our lives. And we'll see a continuation of that here as we go into chapter 3. But in the first four verses, we need that we have some personal preparation that we need in order to get wisdom. We must, first of all, be willing to receive God's wisdom, to grant admission into our lives, to take this instruction to heart. And it is a repeated thing. We'll see that next week in Proverbs 4. This is a repeated theme all the way. We need to take this in our heart. We've got to follow through. We need to open our ears to wisdom. We need to open our heart to wisdom. We need to open our mouth and ask God for wisdom. And then lastly, we need to open our eyes. And we need to have spiritual discernment. Because I've not seen or ear heard the things that God has laid up in store for us. So we need preparation to receive wisdom. Verses 5 through 9, we see the products of seeking wisdom. We have regard or respect for God's ways. We will receive God's blessings. And then we will realize God's will. You can't do God's will. You can't see God's will until you understand God's wisdom. Because it's interrelated. And so that's the product of seeking wisdom. And then there's the protection of wisdom in verses 10 through 19 of chapter 2. It's a decision that is required. It's a direction that is reflected. We looked at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, and say that, yeah, we're going to get these type of challenges in our lives. And then we have deliverance. We have deliverance from the evil man. We have deliverance from the evil or the strange or the adulterous woman or the harlot. And then verses 20 through 22, we see the promises of wisdom. It says that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in. For the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. See, the promises of wisdom is that you'll be in good company. And you'll be in a good place in a good country. And then lastly, we'll have a good continuance or a good life. So tonight, chapter 3 talks about walking in wisdom. And the main point I want to talk about is this. That God's wisdom is obtained by trusting God. And we're not talking about walking in the sense of a physical walk. We're talking and walking with God in the sense of a lifestyle. In the sense that it's the same word for conversation. Let our conversation, let our testimony be filled with wisdom. So let's start tonight in verses 1 through 4. The first 10 verses, Solomon instructs to his son. He says, you need to walk rightly with God. And there's four things here that we need to see here as far as how we can walk rightly with God. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 4 says, my son, forget not my law, and let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days, and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So there's several things here. The first thing that we need to do is we need to remember. Remember last Sunday he said we need to pay attention when God's trying to get our attention. We need to change our attitude when he's asking and he's speaking to us. And then we need to take action when there's adversity in our life. Action that's positive here. And we do that by remembering what God has done for us. Remembering the blessed assurance. Remembering that he died on the cross for our salvation. Remembering what we have in store for us. So, and the way that we remember here was found in verses 1 and also in verse 3. The first one is, do not forget. Do not forget. Now, I'm getting old. You're all getting old. And we're finding out that as we're getting older, we get more what?
Forgetful.
But we're not talking about just not knowing a phone number or not knowing if you gave a pill or not. Angie gave me some Tylenol the other night. And then she came up and she said, did I really give you the Tylenol? Yeah, you did, okay? She forgot. We're not talking about this momentary lapse. We're talking about turning our back and deciding that we're not going to listen to God's law. And so, in verse 1 it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart what? Keep thy commandments. See, if we just have a momentary forgetfulness, we can get back on track. But if we start forgetting and we make it a habit of forgetting, we find out what happens in verse 3. And in verse 3 it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. So the way to remember is not to forget. The way to remember is not to forsake. And if you do those things, then you get the benefits as we see in verses 2 and 4. The first benefit that we see is longevity. It says, for length of days and long life. I mean, that's clear. There's no big interpretation of this. You know, if you do right things and you don't do goofy things, you'll live longer. You'll live longer, okay? This is common sense. The second thing you get in verse 2 is peace. And we already know that God gives us peace. Christ told his disciples, he says, my peace I'll give to you, not as the world gives, but I'll give you something better. God's wisdom is so much better than the world's wisdom. God's peace is so much better than the world's peace. What would happen if everybody just got in line with God's thinking? We wouldn't have all the stuff that's going on in the world today. Because we'd all be thinking of one another, and we would be doing justice, and we would be doing righteously, and we would be doing all this other stuff. The third thing is that we will have favor and understanding. And I want to point out something here. The last part of this verse is this. You'll have favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. There's a lot of people that just want to focus on having favor with man and letting God don't worry about it. It's backwards. If you do what God wants us to do, we will have favor with God. And if our relationship vertically to God is right, our relationship with our fellow man will be right. And no one will be able to say anything against it. And so the first thing is, to walk in wisdom, we need to remember God's law. We need to hide his commandments in our heart. We need to seek his mercy. We need to seek his truth. We need to bind those things around our neck. We need to put them in our heart, okay? And so the first thing is by remembering. The second one is, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it's about trusting. Ronnie quoted this Sunday night, okay? Or who was it? Or Ricky. Ah, your brothers. Sound the same, okay? It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is an issue by trusting. And we see several things here. First of all, we see the preeminence of trusting. It's just not a superficial thing. It's a big thing, okay? What? That little three-letter word is in here again. Trust in the Lord with what? All thy heart. In all thy ways acknowledge him. See, we need to have God be the Lord of our life. He needs to be the preeminent force in our life. by his way, not my way. So we see trusting by making him have first place. The second thing is the path. If we trust, okay, with all of your heart, and you don't think things through, you know what religion comes from? Religion from comes from man thinking, well, this is what God really means. To kind of go the way that they want it to sound instead of what God's truth says. Because it usually ends up justifying some behavior that they want to keep on doing instead of giving it to God. So the issue is the path is you have to do it with all your heart. You have to give him preeminence. You've got to give him first place. And then if you acknowledge him in all your ways, he's going to what? He will direct your path. God wants all of us. Every bit of us. He gave his all for us. We need to live our all for him. And so in order to walk rightly with God, we need to remember his law and his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. We need to trust in him by giving him first place with all of our heart and with all of our ways. The third thing is verses 7 and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, more on that in a minute, and moral to thy and marrow to thy bones. So the third thing we need to understand to walk rightly with God is that we need to do it with humility and reverence. What does humility say? Well, it's not about me. It's not about my way of thinking. So the first part of the verse says, be not wise in what? Thine own eyes. Okay? Fear the Lord, and if you respect God, you will what? Depart from evil. Simple, okay? So, we need a change in perspective. Not the way I think, it's what your word says. Not the way I feel, it's what your Holy Spirit guides me to do. God's promised the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach us what? Teach us all things, lead us all ways. So we need to have a change in perspective, and then we need to have a change in direction to depart from evil. You can't say that you're walking with God and do sin.
Amen.
Willingly do sin. They are mutually exclusive. You're not wise. You're not wise. This verse says here, fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's not an optional thing. You got to do two things. Respect God and not do evil. Plain and simple. And then there'll be a change in welfare. A change in what we experience. It says, it'll be health to thy navel. Okay? Really, it means it'll bring strength to your nerves. It'll calm your nerves. That's put it in modern language. But navel here could actually be quoted to as nerves, okay? And so it brings strength to your nerves. My Bible says, be established in the Lord, rest on him, fret not thyself. All these things through here, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And marrow to thy bones. You know, what does blood marrow do? Or what does marrow of the bone? It makes blood. It makes all sorts of good things. It gives you health. And so what we need to do is we need to have a respect of God come in our life so much it gets into our bones. It gets into our bones, so all that stuff is reproduced through us. Micah 6:8 says this. It says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good what doth the Lord require of thee? So here's the prophet being instructed by God. This is what God wants. This is not optional. This is what God wants every one of us to do. If you say you're a Christian, you're supposed to do these three things. To do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about walking rightly with God by remembering, by trusting Him, and then also in humility and reverence. You know, what's the true test of trusting someone? What's the true test of someone's dedication? Is if they're willing to give up something. Hang on a second. I've lost a verse. Okay? So we need to walk rightly with God. And the fourth point there, it's not, I don't have the slide, it's found in verses 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy income. There's that word again. Of all thine increase, okay? So thou shall thy barns be filled with plain, and thy presses shall burst out with what? New wine. So the issue is, the fourth thing is we walk rightly with God with our possessions. Verses 9 and 10. Okay? The word for honor actually means sacrifice. And we can see this in the rest of this verse here when it talks about first fruits. In the Levitical law and in the law that Moses gave the people, what were they supposed to do with the first fruits? They were supposed to give that to God. God's going to have first place. He's going to have first place. And then it says, and then what does Micah 3:10 say? He says, give me and I'll give it back. And see if you can't even receive it. Okay? And so that's the point here. So the fourth point is that with our possession, I'm sorry, I don't have the slide. Verses 11 through 18, I hate PowerPoint. It doesn't think for you. Okay? The second point, receive the lessons of wisdom. We need to receive God's instruction with a right heart. In verses 11 to 12, it says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction now. We've all heard it. We're growing up. This is going to hurt me more than hurt you. And you go, yeah, right. Okay? Hebrews chapter 10 talks about this, okay? That if God loves us as sons, He's going to chasten us. It says, whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father, the son, in whom He delighteth. God wants us to do His will. What is His will? To look like Him. To be conformed to His image. That's why He saved us. That's why He sanctifies us. That's why He does all this, to look like Him. And we're transformed from the same glory to glory. That's His purpose. Okay? So, when does God correct us? When we don't look like Him. Because God wants us to fulfill His will. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, the Bible says this, and thy ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand or when ye turn to the left. So, which is the way that you want to walk with God? You want to walk with God, so if there's go a little bit off, you kind of get a little small correction. Or you want to go a whole lot off and get hit by a 2x4. Or you get circumstances in your life go, ugh, that's not very good. Both of them do the same way. But if we don't forget His law, we don't forsake His commandments, we make little deviations. We make little deviations. And then, because it's little, we'll receive it with the right, we'll have more not good and receive it with a heart, right heart. But if you know you're doing wrong, God already knows you're doing wrong. So now you're on the same piece same page, and therefore it's easy for, and if you admit you're wrong, it's easy to receive the correction, right? All scripture is given by what? It's profitable for what? For reproof and for correction. Okay? Preeminent stuff in that verse is talking about reproof, which means, hey, you're doing something wrong, and then for correction, let's get back on the right path. So we need to receive the lesson of wisdom. We need to receive God's correction with the right heart. Because a wise man will listen and gain what? More understanding. Remember what chapter 1 talks about? We'll get more knowledge. He'll attain wise counsel. The second thing is the benefits of God's wisdom. There's three benefits. The first one is an emotional one. In verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Would you like to be happy or sad? There's a lot of sad people in the world. I'd rather be happy, personally. So the first benefit of God's wisdom is emotional. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. The second one is physically. In verses 14 through 16 of chapter 3, for the merchandise, or the product of it. So, wisdom makes us feel happy. The product of wisdom, which we studied last week, it says the merchandise of it is better than what? Things made out of silver. And the gain thereof, you know, we buy things and it gains in value. The value of wisdom gains value better than what? Fine gold. It says she, or wisdom, is more precious than rubies. And all things that canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. She comes to us with her hands full. Riches and honor and length of days. We've seen this. So, benefits of wisdom is that I will be happy because I'll be right with God. Okay? The second thing is, I will be physically blessed because God's going to give me what I need. And whatever he gives me, what I need, is going to be much better than what I thought I was going to have. Have you ever found that out? You thought you needed something and God did it a different way and found out that was better than him. His way was better. The last one, the third benefit of God's wisdom is spiritual. In verses 17 and 18, it says, her ways are the ways of pleasantness. And all word. It just keeps on coming back. All her paths are what? Peace. You'll have tribulation in the world, but you'll have peace with God. Which one would you rather have? Peace with the world and God trying to get your attention? Or peace with God and the world saying, eh? The answer is obvious to the Christian, isn't it? She is a what? Tree of life. Okay, what does that mean? Well, that gives you eternity. The tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. God took it out when Adam and Eve sinned. Where's it at now? It's in heaven. We studied Revelation. It's right there. It bears 12 types of fruit, one for each month. Okay? She is a tree of life to them that what? Lay hold upon her. Not sit there and say, it's a tree. God wants us to be tree huggers. Think about this. God wants us to be a tree hugger at the tree of life. Says so right there. She's a tree of life to them that what? Lay hold on her. Makes sense. And happy is everyone that what? Retaineth her. That keeps her. So, folks, this is effort on our part. We have to hold fast to the profession where we're called. We have to hold fast to all these things. There's all sorts of things that we're supposed to hold fast to. And so the benefits of God's wisdom is emotional. We are happy. It's physically. We get God's blessing, which is better than anything that the world could possibly give. And then spiritually, because we can lay hold on the tree of life. And when we're walking in the path that God's put us on, we're walking in the path of wisdom. And verse 17 says, her ways are what? Pleasantness. And all of her paths are peace. Boy, if you were offered those three things, emotional healing and physical blessing and spiritual healing, you'd be foolish not to take it, right? Be foolish not to take it. So we need to receive the blessings, the lessons of wisdom. Verses 19 through 35, we see the value of wise living. We have a choice. And we'll do something if we see that there's some benefit in for us. We'll do something when there's some value in it for us. We think it's worthwhile to do. So in this passage here, as we end this chapter, we need to value wise wisdom by beholding God's wisdom. This is a very interesting set of verses here. Okay? In verses 19 through 20, God created everything through His wisdom. It says, the Lord, by what? Everybody read it.
Wisdom.
By wisdom. Have what? Founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. You know, it doesn't matter how much scientists, how many scientists you have, or how many supercomputers you have, or how big of a telescope you've got. We still can't figure it out. Can't figure it out. All we can do is approximate and guess. We don't understand it. You know why? Because His ways are so much higher than our ways. By His what?
Knowledge,
the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. When you walk through your day, do you value all the benefits that God has just given us through His creation? You know, air is an amazing thing. You can't live without it. Water is an amazing thing. You can't live without it. Food's an amazing thing. You can't live without it. Warmth is an amazing thing. Too much of it, you can't go, eh. Now, cold, different thing. But the issue is we can't live without the wisdom of God in His creation. And so what we have to do is we have to behold God's wisdom in creation, and then we have to put it in context of our own personal life. We have to put it in context of our personal life. In verses 21 and 22, it says, my son, let not them, what them? The blessings that we see in the first couple of in the previous verses. Let not them depart from my eyes. Look at what God has done. And incorporate that in your life. It'll change your attitude. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be light unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Okay? So, the first thing is to value God's wisdom or value wise living. We need to understand that everything that God did was wise. If it's God's will for us to be conformed to His image, what does that mean? That everything we do should have what? Wisdom. Wisdom. Secondly, value wise living by seeing the benefit or the safety or the benefit of living in God's wisdom. In Proverbs 3, verses 23 to 26, it says, then, so if you can see God's wisdom all around you, if you incorporate God's wisdom, then shalt thou walk in thy what? Way?
Safely.
Remember, I don't care what God, what man can do to me. Because God's got me. Okay? And thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. And boy, you see that in the world today, don't you? People are living in fear. But perfect love casteth out what?
Fear.
All fear. It says, then when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. I don't know. I've been talking to a whole bunch of people, and they said, you know, I just can't get any good sleep anymore. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, the supplication, let your request be made known. And thy sheep sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Look at what's happened in our country and the world over the last 3 months. Remember how this all started. We were all going to die. There were going to be millions of people in this country. And it may still happen. But everybody was fearful because of what man was saying. Okay? Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Guess what? What does this verse say? These things are going to happen. But understand, if God be for us, who can be against us? For the Lord shall be thy confidence. Now, what does that word mean? It means something that you can trust on, rely on, get you through the time. So the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. We need to focus on this verse, folks. Is the Lord your confidence? Yeah. Or is it your bank account? Or is it your retirement savings? Or is it your family? Or is it the Lord should be our confidence? But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. So we value wise living by beholding God's wisdom in creation and appropriating that in our life and mimicking that. We value wise living by seeing the benefit of God's wisdom. You know, I'm kind of hard-headed. Andy says that all the time. I'll do my own way, and sometimes I'll just have to keep on. You just let me go and then I'll figure it out. We let our kids do the same thing, right? Okay? We'll figure it out. We value something when we use it. You can't say that you really like this tool, guys, if you never pick it up. Okay? You don't mount it up on your mantle and say, oh, look at that tool. You use it, right? My wife got a KitchenAid. And up this point, we bought all sorts of kitchen stuff. Okay? And we had literally a monument to kitchen utensils. We had everything. We had this and that and stuff. But she got this. Now, she learned how to cook again. To learn how to make things. I didn't think I'd ever make things. See, because she values the KitchenAid. How much do we value God's wisdom? Do we value God's wisdom enough that we would use it and exercise it? In verses 27 through 30, look at this. If you're walking rightly with God, you won't do these things. It says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. As much as is within you, live peacefully to all men. Let us do good to all, especially what? Them of the household of faith. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what?
Sin.
Withhold not good to them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. So if you have the means and you have the God's grace to do it, do it. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I'll give what I will give when thou hast it by me. Don't say come back tomorrow when you can help him today. He wouldn't have come to you today unless he needed help. Don't put it in your schedule. Do what God puts in front of you. Seize the opportunity to help people. That's being wise. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause. If you have done ye what?
No harm.
No harm. I don't understand why people are throwing bricks through windows. Well, they had nothing to do with Minneapolis. That's not being wise. There's evil there. I have no fault with people, business owners. It's ridiculous. It's not falling in that trap. Okay? Strive not with a man without cause. He have not done any no harm. Be ye angry and what? Sin not. What's our memory verse? Let no evil communication come out of your mouth. Okay? So we need to evaluate God's wisdom by seeing it, appropriating it, understanding there's benefits of walking in it, and then exercising God's wisdom. But with everything spiritual, there's always a choice. And the last thing is, we need to choose wise living. 31 through 35 says this, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. You know, you won't do that if you're seeking God with all your heart. If you're seeking wisdom, and you're writing that on the tables of your heart. If you're not forgetting his law, if you're not forsaking mercy and truth, if you're doing those things, 31 won't apply. Because you'll find that God is everything that you need. Envy not thou the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Verse 32. For the forward, or the person who's against God, is an abomination to the Lord. Why join yourself with them? Why do that? He's telling his son. Solomon is telling his son. He said, don't be like this. But his secret is with the righteous. We see in the New Testament, that's what? The mystery. We have this mystery in our lives. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. But he blessed the habitation of the just. Do you see here there's a choice? There's a choice in 31. Choose not his ways. There's a choice in 32. Be righteous. There's a choice in 33. Be just. Verse 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the what? Lowly. There's a choice. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion or the reward of fools. So, value wise living by beholding God's wisdom. Value God's wise living by understanding the safety of God's wisdom. Value God's wise living by exercising God's wisdom in our life daily, even at the little things. And then value wise living by choosing wise living. God gives us a choice. He gives us a free will. If we're wise, we'll choose wisely. If we're foolish, we'll choose foolishly. And Proverbs 8:33 as a close says this: hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not.
Pretty simple.
That's what we need to take away from this. So are we walking rightly with God by remembering, by trusting, by honoring Him with our substance, by following Him? Do we see all the things that He has for us? Remember what Psalm says, blessed be the Lord, forget not what?
All
His benefits. Let's stay. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you that you help us, Lord, with your wisdom. Father, help us to choose wisely tonight. Help us, Lord, to choose to follow you. Father, if someone here does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would receive you as Savior. Lord, for us that may be walking away, which is unwise, Father, I pray that we would just turn back to you. Lord, help us tonight. Help us to choose wisdom. Help us to put it in our heart. Write it upon our heart. Not forget it. Not forsake it. We thank you, and we give you this time. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.